The COVID-19 pandemic has been making a lot of people nervous about their financial situation. The U.S. Labor Department says a record 3.3 million Americans filed for unemployment benefits last week, and that doesn't even count all the people who are contract workers or workers in the gig economy who are out of a job. Meanwhile, the stock markets have tumbled over the past several weeks. In fact, after topping out at more than 29,000 in February, the Dow Jones has fallen more than 7,000 points. And it could be weeks or even months before stay-at-home orders are lifted and businesses are allowed to reopen. It may seem scary, but our guest says there are some money moves we can make to protect ourselves and get through the uncertainty. Chris Hogan is a personal finance expert in Nashville and host of The Chris Hogan Show. He's also the author of two books, including Everyday Millionaires, How Ordinary People Built Extraordinary Wealth, and How You Can Too. Chris, good to have you back on the show.
Well, thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be with you.
What should our mindset be right now?
Well, I think, you know, first and foremost, we have to admit that we've never seen anything like this before. We're in unprecedented territory. And so I think our mindset needs to really shift into more of a conserve mode. You know, we're used to doing what we want when we want. But in reality, a lot of our financial situations aren't where they needed to be. And so now in this time where people are having layoffs or hours cut or maybe even jobs lost, it's now a chance for us to shift our mindset, go into conserve mode, and learn to take care of the things that are necessary.
What if we're just feeling hopeless and depressed and we just don't know how long this is going to last? How do we combat those feelings, and specifically in terms of our finances?
Well, I think first and foremost, we have to understand that no one has a crystal ball. We do not know how long this is going to last. And so what we have to do is begin to kind of call back and look at history. You know, the stock market is a living, breathing thing. It responds when people are overly optimistic. It increases. When people are skeptical or worried, it will decrease. And so right now, we've seen this kind of story before. Now, we've not seen a pandemic like this before in a very, very long time, but we have seen situations where the stock market has been a roller coaster. It's gone down and up. And calling back to the SARS epidemic in 02 and 03, the stock market dropped almost 12%. But by the end of 03, it was up 19%. So it had come back. And we look at the terrible events around 9/11. That terrible day, the stock market obviously plunged as America's hearts were broken. But at the same time, it also came back. And most recently in 07 to 09, the Great Recession, the market dipped, but it came back. So I'm wanting to remind people out there that the stock market is going to come back. What we have to do is call on our resiliency and awareness and a plan until that happens.
You mentioned going into conserve mode. I'd like to dig into that a little bit deeper. Exactly what should we be conserving and how should we do it?
Yes, sir. Well, in conserve mode, what you want to do is to really to protect what you have or what's going to be coming in the way of resources. But I tell people we've got to be adult enough to know the difference between a want and a need. And the things that we need are the four walls. And I tell people with four walls, I'm talking about you've got to take care of your shelter. And so that's making sure you're paying your rent or your mortgage, and as well as taking care of your utilities, what's surrounded with keeping the lights on and the heat. But next, you want to make sure that you have food on the table, something nourishing for yourself and your family, but then you also want to make sure that your transportation is taken care of. You've got gas in your vehicle and you can get from point A to point B. So the four walls are your housing, your utilities, your food, and your transportation. Those are the four absolutes that we must take care of month in and month out.
So what sort of unnecessary spending should we cut out, even if we may still have a steady income and some savings?
Well, John, here's the thing. If someone has a steady income and you're okay, your job is stable, your income is stable, then I encourage you to continue down the path. If you've been attacking debt, that's fine. You keep that mindset and you keep going. But if your income has been cut in half or lost, now what you're doing is really beginning to cut out the things that are unnecessary. For example, the gym membership. Some people are still paying this auto draft from their checking account, but the gym's not open. So let's cancel that and save that $100 to $150 each and every month, or the other subscriptions that you may not be using or may be non-essential right now. And I think it's really important for people to understand they have that power to be able to take control. And when things get better or income stabilizes, then you can look at adding back what's necessary.
We're talking with personal finance expert Chris Hogan, who will be answering your questions, if you have them, at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. What struggles are you going through right now? What specific questions do you have for Chris Hogan about how you ought to handle this? 800-642-1234. Well, we will be getting these stimulus checks. Maybe some of us will be getting a tax refund. Chris, what's the best thing we can do with that money when it comes in?
Well, John, I think the first thing we could do is look at this and understand that these stimulus checks aren't something that are just going to continue. And I think we have to have that mindset and looking at this and understanding this is an opportunity to get some help. But again, the difference is looking at this, we want to put that in our savings account. We want to make sure we're allocating it to the things that are needed, those four walls that I talked about earlier. The last thing we want to do, and we tend to do this at times, we look to medicate with buying some stuff. And this isn't the time to do online shopping or glancing at things that you're interested in or would like. We have to change our mindset around this so we're able to get through this in ample time.
You know, that's really, we're all used to online shopping now, and it's pretty easy to be sitting in your recliner and just pull out your phone and order a bunch of stuff that shows up a week later or maybe even the next day.
Yes.
We maybe need to think twice about that.
We really do. And listen, you know, we're one click away. I talked about this last week on the Chris Hogan Show. You know, being one click away is convenient, but it can be dangerous to us financially. And so I've told people, listen, unsubscribe to those retailer mailings that come into your email. Don't even go glance and look at those things, because we can tend to look to buy some stuff to make us feel better. But at the end of the day, it's really not going to make us feel better, especially if it prevents us from putting food on the table. And so we've got to rise up right now and really begin to say, what's necessary for my family, and how do we begin to get through this all together? And that collective mindset will help to change people's perspective as we walk through this tough time.
We've got a caller on the line. Ben is with us from Oconomowoc. Ben, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, first of all, it's great hearing Chris. He definitely has a voice for radio, and he looks great on television as well. I followed some of his advice and the advice of others such as Dave Ramsey for a while now, including doing things like having an emergency fund. But about 2 years ago, I actually got hurt pretty bad in a traffic collision, pretty much lost all my income. But fortunately, I had kind of planned ahead to a certain extent. For a car, I paid cash for a good, used, basic electric car, which also meant that I didn't have to buy any gasoline. I'm also handy, and I actually installed solar panels on my house, so I didn't have an electric bill, and I could make my own electricity for the electric car. Besides that, our only payments were just the house payment. We didn't have any student loans, anything like that. And I really counted myself fortunate that because we had minimized so many of our expenses so much that even though I was out of work, that we still got by okay. We had to rely heavily on that emergency fund. And since then, I've been slowly working that back up. My wife works for the school system, so she's at home out of work. And fortunately, I have different skills, so I was able to do some construction work right now. It's just working with one other person. So, you know, we're still sort of socially distanced, but we're doing okay. But it's
so,
a matter of...
Ben, what's your question for Chris Hogan? What's your question for Chris Hogan?
Well, what I really wanted to say is, what are some of the different types of things that people can do to be prepared long term?
Okay, Ben. Well, first of all, let me congratulate you. You know, the moves that you made and having that emergency fund really put you and your family in a different situation. You know, it turned sometimes an emergency into simply an inconvenience because you have the money to be able to take care of it. So I applaud you for getting yourself out of debt and being prepared. But I'll tell you this, right now, in the long term, I think the smartest thing that we could do is go into conserve mode, which is, again, looking to eliminate all the unnecessary expenses. any kind of spending, it needs to be based on just what's a necessity. And so having that mindset and stopping ourselves from our urges or our cravings, that means we're going to cook meals at home. We're going to do things that make sense collectively as a family, but we're also going to look for ways to bring in extra income. And so I applaud you for hustling, you know, and I'm sorry to hear about your car accident, but I'm glad to see that you rose above that and started to figure out, what can I do for the sake of myself as well as my family? And so I think what we have to do is don't hold your breath during this period. We don't know how long this is going to last. And so adopting a different mind change, a shift, so to speak, allows us to begin to look at everything as we're conserving as much as possible. And it just helps us to live smarter and to be a little bit more prepared for the unforeseen future.
We're talking about what we should be doing with our finances during the coronavirus pandemic with Chris Hogan. He's a personal finance expert in Nashville and host of The Chris Hogan Show. He's also the author of a couple of books, including Everyday Millionaires, How Ordinary People Built Extraordinary Wealth, and How You Can Too. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. How are you feeling about your finances these days? Are you concerned you won't have enough to get by? What questions do you have about your finances, debt, bills, investments? If you're a business owner, how are you coping with what's going on? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We're about to get, a lot of questions. Before we get to those calls, though, Chris, Wednesday's the first of the month. That's typically when the rent is due, other bills like the mortgage, things like that. What if we don't have the money to pay that or other bills?
Okay. Now, in that type of situation, I tell people you may not have the money to pay, but you can pay attention. And so I would encourage anyone out there to get on the phone and call all of your creditors. And that would be your landlord if you don't have the money to cover the rent, or your mortgage servicing company if you don't have that payment. We have to get on there and explain the situation. Let them know that you've had an income cut or a job loss, and let them know what you're looking to do. And this can be a tough step for people to take. But being proactive, it kind of helps to change the narrative. I want people to reach out and call them. Make notes on the call of who you spoke with, the date, the time, and the context of the call. The creditor's not going to like it, but guess what? You don't like this situation. This is about trying to get through. And so calling them, communicating with them about your situation and what you're looking to do. The worst thing you could do is avoid the problem. All that does is make it worse. And the second thing is don't make a promise that you can't keep. Don't promise to pay next week if you don't know if you're going to have the money. Be open and honest and upfront and give them an opportunity to hear you. But again, don't expect them to like it, but you don't like it either. So it's best to communicate even if you don't have the money.
Here in Wisconsin, by the way, for rents and mortgages, there are some freezes in place. So people should look into that as well. Let's go to the phones and hear from Luann in East Troy. Luann, thanks for joining us on Central Time today.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I lost about 25 to 33% of the money in my IRA and 401k. So I kind of panicked and thought, okay, stocks are low, I should buy now. And I put about $1,000 into the stock market trying to predict who would be a stock that would go up, so companies involved in medical care and such. But then I remembered, I'm terrible at picking stocks. So is now a good time to buy or a bad time to buy?
Okay, Luann, thank you so much for your question. You know, the stock market, as I mentioned earlier, is a living, breathing thing. So it's going to go up and it's going to go down. It's like a roller coaster ride. But the most important thing is, if you're investing, is to remain consistent in that. Now, in trying to pick or time the market, that only leads to headache and heartache. Everyone, rarely do you hear about people coming out ahead there. So what I would encourage you to do is to reach out to your investment professional, begin to have a conversation. Investing is based on the goal. control, the amount of time that you have, but also your risk tolerance. Some of us are wired to take a little bit more risk than others. And so identifying that, it will allow you to invest in a way that fits you. And so it's really personalized. So what I would do is whatever you've done thus far, leave it there, but reach out to your investment professional and begin to have a conversation so they can look at your portfolio, but also get more of an understanding of your timing and your goals. And so that way they can help guide you and direct you. You want to work with someone that's in this all day long, not somebody just jumping in and out trying to time the market.
Luann mentioned her 401k. Chris Hogan, how do you feel about tapping into retirement savings to get by during this downtime?
I absolutely don't like it. And that's one of the things that the government talked about allowing people to be able to do that really made me want to pull my one hair out. This is, you know, we put money away for our dreams and our goals for the future. And right now, yes, it is tempting to look at it and to be just frustrated with the loss. But the reality is getting out of the market right now or pulling money out, you remove the opportunity for the rebound. As I mentioned back in 02 and 03, there was a rebound. As I mentioned after 9/11, there was a rebound, and so on and so forth, even with the Great Recession of 07 through 09. So getting out right now is a bad move. It's going to remove the opportunity for you to be able to catch the wave when it comes back up, because it is going to come back. I just can't tell you when.
Luann, thanks for your call. We'll go next to Paula, who joins us from the Fox Valley. Paula, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have been debating myself back and forth, so I'm going to ask somebody smarter than me. I have finally kind of come over my hilltop. I've got my four walls are set, and I'm trying to buy a house in about 6 months. But I was going back and forth, do I get my debt below the cutoff, or do I increase my down payment percentage? So that's what I've been going back and forth about. What do you think?
Paula, well, thank you so much for that question. And buying a home is a big step. You know, the American dream is homeownership. But it's not just buying it, it's owning it. And so I think there are things that we can do to put ourselves on a path to be better prepared for those unforeseen things that can pop up. So I would encourage you to realize that, yes, you are going to get a house one day. But I would encourage you to attack and clean up your debt. And then get an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses so you are prepared and set for any unforeseen thing that may come. And then begin to save for the home down payment. Now, I go in that order for this very reason. Too many people have reached out and bought a home really quick. Unfortunately, a lot of the banks or mortgage institutions will allow it to happen quickly. But they don't understand the overall financial status of people and what's going on. We don't want to be one job loss or income drop away from losing that home. So setting yourself up and preparing to do it the right way, it'll take a little bit more time. But young lady, you will feel better in the end.
Thanks, Paula, for that call. Let's go next to Travis in Richland Center. Travis, go ahead. You're on Central Time.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. The question I had was my wife and I will qualify for the stimulus check, and we got two vehicle payments. I've got a secure job being I transport ingredient products. One car is almost paid off. Do we take that stimulus check and pay off that one car, or do we just hang on to that money for now?
Okay, Travis, tell me this, my friend. How much do you owe on the car that's almost paid off?
Just about what we're going to get for the stimulus checks. I think it's going to be about $2,400.
Okay. And how much is the car payment?
Oh, probably right around $300 a month.
Okay. Well, I would tell you without a shadow of a doubt to attack and pay off that car. And what you're going to do is now save $300 a month from leaving you. And so, you know, you all could redirect the $300 you were making on the car payment back towards your savings. And now you've got this car paid for. It's yours. And the key thing is don't go add any more debt to this. You want to have the mindset of getting debt out of your life. Remember, debt's a thief. It steals from you now, but also from your future, because it doesn't allow you to be able to invest. So definitely pay off that car. Stay focused. You guys keep walking the steps of attacking debt and building up your emergency fund, and you're going to protect yourself and your family in the long run.
Travis, thanks so much for that call, and good luck with your finances as you navigate this tough time. Chris, we're about out of time here, and very quickly, leave us with some words of encouragement about getting through this crisis.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I know without a shadow of a doubt, as Americans, we're resilient, and we've all been through some tough times before. We just need to think back. We've overcome some personal things or things inside of our family, and goodness knows we've dealt with things as a society before. I think it's time to call on those muscles, to go back and really look and understand the resolve that we have and to understand we can get through this. And I just want to encourage everyone to protect your mind and look and don't become obsessed about this. It's good to be informed, but don't obsess. Let's remember the things that we can control, our attitude, our outlook, as well as our actions. And staying in control of those things will help us shape our tomorrow. We're going to get through this because we're all in this thing together.
And that's where we'll leave it. Chris Hogan, thanks so much for joining us today. Chris Hogan is a personal finance expert in Nashville and the host of The Chris Hogan Show, also the author of Everyday Millionaires, How Ordinary People Built Extraordinary Wealth, and How You Can Too. We talked with him about how we can better manage our finances during the coronavirus outbreak.